You're listening to an encore presentation of The Rush with Ryan and Jay. News Talk 1010.
Game time.
It cuts right to the bone.
But it is a tougher sell for sure.
Time to feel the rush of the round table.
It's Ryan and Jay here on The Rush. Great to have you in this afternoon. Got some great people to talk about some great things with you. Political analyst Scott Reed and I have been arguing off the air, so let's just bring that to life here.
You came in guns blazing.
Fantastic. Well, you know, I had to listen to that ridiculous rant. That,
thank you for cleaning up your language.
Yeah.
From moments ago.
I barely managed to.
We will get into it in just a second with Scott. Bill Carroll is here, host of The Morning Rush in Ottawa and The Bill Carroll Show here on Fridays. Nice to have you, sir.
Good to be here.
And John Pohl, host of The Pohl Position, is here. Nice to have you as well.
Gentlemen, good afternoon.
You got to hand it to government, man. We gave them the opportunity to make things crystal clear, and they have accomplished that mission. Canada's first ever minister of middle-class prosperity, doing the media tour, and finally giving us this clear look at what really is the middle class.
Well, I define the middle class where people feel that they can afford their way of life. They have a quality of life, and they can have, send their kids to play hockey or even have different activities. It's having the cost of living where you can do what you want with your families. So I think that it's really important that we look at how do we make our lives more affordable now. And that's, for me, something that we will be putting measures and really putting efforts with my colleagues to have a strong economy.
Now, don't you think Bill should also stuck the landing?
He could stop.
Oh,
you know what? I would feel sorry for her, but when the Prime Minister offers you a job, you're going to be Minister of Nothing. Just say no. Say, no, I'm not going to do that, because that's a BS job title you're giving me. I'm not taking it. She defines being middle class as doing what you want, having the quality of life, the money to afford the quality of life you want. Well, my quality of life would be, I want to be able to buy a 40-foot yacht and go to Florida once a month for a week and live in a penthouse condo with six bedrooms overlooking Toronto Harbor for $6 million. Come on. She can't. Her definition leaves you with about five different things that also need a definition. This was a stupid cabinet position. It's a public relations position, nothing more than that. And they can't even get the PR right on it. I mean, before you go out and meet the media, have an answer to that question. We've been asking this question for days. She doesn't have the answer yet. Unbelievable.
Now, John, I actually figured it out, because according to the minister, you got to go where you want to go, do what you want to do with whoever you want to do it with. You got to go where you want to go and do what you want to do.
Just that simple.
Just like the Mamas and Papas said in 1968 in the song Go Where You Want to Go. So clearly, at least now we know where she went for her research.
The proof is the proof.
I feel if we went out at Yonge and Dundas and asked 10 people what the Minister of Middle Class Prosperity does, out of the 10 random Canadians with their random answers that they know nothing about, their answers would be better than the actual Minister of the Middle Class Prosperity, just at random. It almost sounds like Prime Minister Justin Trudeau wrote her answer for her, because she said a whole lot and said a whole lot of nothing. Period.
So I guess, Scott, the question for you would be, and oddly enough, you're the perfect person to ask, how does a minority government justify something like this?
I don't know. They don't need to really justify it, to be honest with you. I mean, like, this is not what the next election is going to swing on. It's a ridiculous branding of the post. And did you notice the word I used? Branding. And that's the fundamental problem with it. It's branding. It's not actually a job assignment, right? And so she can't answer it for two reasons. One, it doesn't have an obvious definition what the post is. And so just say she's a junior minister of finance. Like, that's okay, right? There's been those for lots. And then you're going to catch files. The minister of finance is going to say, you know what? Like, we've got to do like a financial sector review. And so that's going to be your baby. Or we're going to ask you to look at this bundle of issues. So that's the first problem. The second problem is she's got, I feel badly for her. There's no right answer to that question, right? You know, in politics, if anybody asks you this question, you don't fundamentally answer it. But if you're not going to answer a question, don't answer it short. Don't answer it long. That's the rule of thumb. And the reason there's no answer to the question is everybody thinks they're in the middle class. It is astonishing, right? people who are squillionaires think they're in the middle class, and people who make dirt think they're in the middle class. So it's always politically dangerous to tell people they're not by defining it in precise terms. And so that's why she's rambling around. But if you're going to ramble, ramble short, don't ramble long.
They really could use you back in Ottawa. You know that? Not that I'm trying to get rid of you or anything.
No.
There's a new poll out. It's found the majority of Ontarians don't support larger class sizes. Okay. I guess that's surprising to almost no one. Among women, nearly 3/4 don't like the idea. Men, 59%. They don't like the idea. Bill, I think the poll is kind of, I don't want to say bogus, but the poll is going to tell us exactly what we believe, right? People like things the way they are because, well, you know, they're selfish in a sense. I think that's the best way to put it. But we all are, right? We you know, if you told me I could have 3 days off a week, okay, fantastic. Yes, I want that. And then you tell me somebody's going to take that away, I'm against it.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, there's no, you'd have to give somebody a 4-hour lead up to that question, right? To put it in some kind of perspective for them before they can answer it honestly. Based on what? It's a hypothetical. How do I feel about class sizes? Should they be reduced or increased? Everyone's going to say the same thing. Well, in a perfect world, yeah, reduced. Want class sizes to be as small as we can afford. Ah, now define afford. Well, I don't know. Depends on whether or not you're in the middle class. How do you define middle class? I don't know. And around we go. Of course, you ask people that question. I don't want health care to be cut. I don't want education to be cut. I don't want anything to be cut. You know what else I don't want? I don't want to pay a lot more money in taxes. And I want deficits to be cut. So, because I don't want to build up the debt for my children and their children to pay off. So, yeah, governing is about balancing. When you ask people a question like this in a vacuum, it's a nonsense question.
John?
You know, it's interesting. I find it intriguing that in this whole discussion about larger class sizes, no one ever brings up the ability and the qualifications of the person at the front of the room, which is the teacher. Because there are many teachers that are excellent at classroom management and probably could handle a few extra students in their class, and it wouldn't make any difference to the students because they're great at their job. But we also have some teachers that are the exact opposite of that, and where if they had 15 kids in their class, those kids would still find themselves behind. And this is where I think the union's got to step up, because for years they don't want their teachers graded in any way, shape, or form. They want all teachers to be equal, but we know that they're not. And until you change or answer the question, who is at the front of the room and their qualifications and skill, this question is useless.
Scott, you were particularly angry with me when you came in this afternoon.
Yeah, I'm angry with you. I mean, you can not like the question, but you can't pretend that larger class sizes are in any way desirable. They're not. I mean, first thing, what is the meeting place between economic policy and social policy? Education. What is the finest predictor of whether a society is going to do better or worse? Education. What is the best way to get your kids ahead? Education. And what is going to lead to a better education? Bunch of things. But class size is surely to God one of them.
But so what we is should the not right class be agnostic. Size? What's the magic number?
As small as you can get it. So what this poll is telling you...
Well, so that'd be one student for one teacher per student would be ideal, but we can't afford that. So what's the line? And in what grade does the number change? I mean, if it's grade 3, I probably need fewer students than in grade 12 because you're getting ready for university.
The question doesn't tell you that, Bill.
Kids.
The question tells you.
That's why it's a nonsense
right,
question.
No, it isn't.
Let me finish my point. The question is actually super valuable, and we know it's valuable to the Ford government because they've reversed course. Here's the fundamental point. Lots of things are unpopular. Some things are so unpopular that they could actually knock you down, knock you out, kick your teeth down your stomach, and defeat you as a government. Electricity prices are one of those things. Class sizes is another one of those things. So this inherent, instinctive, uninformed, but coarsely informative response to this question tells you, do not dick with class sizes. That's the lesson. Doug Ford learned it the hard way. The next person who comes along and tries to increase them will learn it too.
But that's if you want a leader to just be concerned about getting reelected.
No,
what
it
about,
isn't, because it's
about
actually
doing
the right
what
policy.
Has to be
it's
done.
Also
it's the right
the
policy because
right
what? It's going to be popular? That doesn't make it
no,
the right
No, it's the right policy because the smaller the ratio between students and teacher, the better you're going to get in terms of classroom outcomes. That
so,
is
but what
indisputably
the
correct.
What does the provincial government deliver more than anything else? Education and what? Healthcare, right?
Right.
So if we're not going to cut education spending, then we cut healthcare spending. So do you want to Do you want to have fewer doctors? Do you want more people sick, more people dying? I mean, government.
Well, we could quit telling people that we're going to cut their taxes beyond a level of fundamental service. That's the give and take. If you want to say to people, you know what? I'm going to cut or freeze your taxes and you will not suffer any service delivery implication, then that's a BS argument.
Real government is about making tough choices and doing what you can afford and what's right, whether it gets you reelected or not. Now, will we ever live in a world where
education
we see
that? Is always
probably
the right not. Choice, and it's always the right priority. It will get you reelected and will get your society
right, and
ahead.
I don't think you're harming our education of our kids to have an extra couple of students in a grade 12 class.
Well, you are obviously on the wrong side of everyone else.
Let's take a collective breath and have a nice, relaxing trip up the highway to Pembroke, Ontario, and pop into Perkins Guns and Ammo, where this past weekend you would have seen a sign that said, "Gun deals. All you people, come on in. White Friday sale." Lance Perkins is the owner of Perkins Guns and Ammo, and he says, "My message isn't racist. I just don't like the phrase Black Friday because it's too closely associated with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and his blackface scandal. Furthermore, all you see," this one just writes itself, "all you see in the newspaper is Black Friday, Black Friday. And you know what? I said we're not American. Let's go with a different shade, a different color. I picked white because it resembles snow. It resembles Christmas. Why not go with something brighter than black?" John, I'll start with you.
I've been to the store, and I've gotten gas there, and I'll point out that their gas prices are fabulous. It's a gun store. I think this ad speaks directly to, or I guess their sign, I should say, directly speaks to the people that go to that store. Keep in mind that Renfrew County, where Pembroke is, Cheryl Gallant is the MP, and she played a real big role in the whole gun registry thing. So I think his customers probably get the joke. If I was his advertising guy, I'd probably say, if you do this, you're going to get some heat, but the heat might be worth it. I think he actually has a good explanation. I don't think it's racist at all. I think the guy's sarcastic. He's laced it with hyperbole, and he's having a good time, and he probably loves the media attention.
Yeah, it's funny, Bill. When I read this, and Ryan gave an explanation as well, I thought both you and John gave him far too much credit, and it literally was him going out front, put a sign up, and said to his buddy, "Ain't that funny, man?" And his buddy said, "Yeah, dude, that's fantastic."
Sure, because he added the whole "you people" from Don Cherry.
Yeah.
So we know what he was going for. And then when he got busted on it publicly, he tried to backtrack a little bit. No, I didn't mean that. What I meant was, and he flipped it around. You know, the way people flip their outrage on a CTV panelist from a TV show because they wanted revenge for Don Cherry being fired. It's the same kind of thing, but I mean, it's not funny. Yes, I think he was being racist and he tried to back down on it. So I believe him, though. I believe him just the same way I believe that a 29-year-old teacher didn't know it was wrong to wear blackface. If you can believe one, you can believe the other.
Scott?
Well, in marked contrast to the previous segment, I agree with Bill. I don't have anything to add to it.
Okay, fair enough. I love the fact, John, you've been to this store, though.
I have.
We got gas.
Not to buy guns, just to get my gas.
It's fine. It's fine.
I mean, but if I needed a gun, I'd probably go there.
There you go. Or a crossbow. He sells crossbows as well. Wow. That kind of stuff. Sporting fellow he is. Scott Reed, Bill Carroll.
Crossbow season opens earlier, right?
Oh, is it earlier this year?
Yeah. Well, no, not this year. Many years.
Many.
All years.
Got your finger on the pulse of the rural.
It just got weird. I'm leaving.
Okay. Scott Reed, John Pohl, Bill Carroll. Thank you all. We appreciate it.